What's up, everybody? Happy Monday, and welcome into another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast. I'm Lindsay. That's Saul. That's Flex. That's Gerald. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good.
You feeling okay?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Well, listen, before we dive into last night's game and get a temperature check about that, I think we should start the show on a high note. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we just got this tweet from Devin Booker about 10 minutes before this program started, and we had to bring this up. So they did him so dirty with this one. There is a video going around right now, and the caption says, "Video of alleged NBA superstar getting a haircut is going viral," with some eyeball emojis. So he's got this plastic thing in front of his face, so you can't really see who it is. But
he's light-skinned and kind of looks like Devin Booker.
A little bit like Devin Booker, but they're doing him dirty because they're basically saying he has no hair up top, that he's basically balding up top, so they're cleaning up, putting on a toupee of sorts, and honestly, if this is legit, they did a good job. But then Devin tweeted it and said, "Y'all got legit hair for whoever it is, not Devin." That's clearly not Devin.
Nah, listen, the dude.
If they actually did this to the guy in the video, they did a good job on him.
My man was. Hey, real talk. My man was pumping gas at the gas station and left the haircut place looking like Devin Booker. That's a win.
Yeah.
That's a win. That's a win. Good job by the barber,
win
man.
For that,
Not a win for Devin Booker. But Devin's hair is like Saul's. Like when you don't get a haircut, it pops up.
It's looking raggedy right now.
Yeah, so Devin got a way out because we know his hair ain't that short.
But I was going to the Final Four tonight, so I couldn't wear a hat.
But that was so funny. Like, honestly, we all sat here for 10 minutes straight and just cackled about that. So if you need a good laugh, you can go over and see that on Devin's Twitter. But a couple people in the chat are like, looks more like Jason Tatum to me. So from one angle, it definitely looks like Book. But from the other angle, it doesn't look like Book at all.
From the front, it looks like Book a lot. So I love that he responded to it.
I know. Hilarious. All right. Now that we've all had a good laugh.
Should have put a headband on.
Leave a like. Let's revisit last night's game a little bit. I know you guys said you were feeling good off the top of the show, but just a quick little temp check, because I know Suns fans seemingly have a mixed bag of emotions about last night's L to the Pelicans. Where are you at, Saul?
I'm fine with it. I moved on. Okay. Listen, this is a big week. They got four games. They control their own destiny. They win out, they'll be fine. They'll be in the sixth spot. And fortunate for them, everybody else has, like, their last three out of four games are also tough games that they got to play. You know, it seems like everybody's got one little layup, but even the layups at this point of the season, when you're talking about teams that have nothing to play for, they're just going to throw everything out there. So you can't really rely on those as automatic dubs either. So everybody's got to play hard this week. Otherwise, you're going to be finding yourself in the play-in, and you probably deserve to be there if you can't figure it out.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I mean, listen, they had the opportunity to kind of put the nail in the coffin. They didn't take care of it. But they didn't play terrible basketball. I didn't leave that game feeling disappointed, feeling like they, you know, dropped a dud or fumbled the bag. They just played against a team that played a little bit better last night. And so you tip your hat. I like where they're at. I'm not nervous. There's no anxiety. They know what's in front of them. They know what got to get done. And if ultimately you're going to be a good team and you're going to contend for a title, this is what you got to deal with. So this is a big game on Tuesday night. Buckle up. Have fun.
I think there's this inclination when a team loses, especially one like the Suns that's playing to try and stay out of that play-in and that we expect it to be a lot better. There's this inclination as fans to look at it when they lose and be like, well, what did they do wrong? I think you can point to second quarter. That was not a good quarter for them. Their 3-point defense led up. But other than that, like looking at the fourth quarter, that was a NBA superstar leading his team to victory and refusing to lose. And yep. I know a lot of people are going to say, well, wow, one superstar beat our three out, but that's not really how
it works.
And if, you know, Grayson Allen hits one or two threes, if KD has a normal shooting night, we're not talking about Zion. We're talking about Bradley Beal scoring 13 straight points for the Suns. And Zion just was that dude last night. Like there, when he checked in with about 5 minutes to go, the Suns were down two. From there, he hit two free throws. He blocked a Grayson Allen three. He had a floater in the lane. He contained a Bradley Beal drive because they were trying to turn him into a pigeon that led to a turnover. Yep. He had a block on a Beal drive and a layup on the other end. He had a pull-up jumper, which last night was the first time in his career he's had two pull-up jumpers in the same game. He had a block on KD from behind.
Come on,
he had a drive against Nurkic and a dunk. He had another Beal drive contained where he forced a turnover on the baseline and forced Beal out of bounds. And then he had the layup to ice it with like 29 seconds left. That is a superstar dominant stretch from a guy who, when he is motivated, is one of the best players in the league. So it's not about like the Suns didn't want it enough. I think people took Bradley Beal's comments out of context there. I think it was just acknowledging the fact that like Zion took it to another level. And the Pelicans were the more desperate team last night, and I think that was the difference.
That was a five-minute stretch?
That was so he checked in with 8 minutes left, so over the final seven or eight. Yeah.
That might have been the best 8 minutes of Zion's career.
Right.
Really. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying. You tip your hat, and you're like, man, you played your butt off. Good for you. But I don't leave that situation feeling like the Suns didn't do something right or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we all kind of were feeling the same way last night in the post game. That it was a major bummer that the Suns didn't get the W, but it also took an incredible game from Zion, shooting lights out from CJ McCollum throughout this one as well. So not feeling too bad about it. However, they do need to take care of business this week. Like, that goes without saying.
Yes.
You are still on a mission to lock up premier or, I guess, just preferred seeding within the West. I don't want to play in the play-in.
No.
I don't want to. I would rather have all next week to just talk about whatever it is we're going to talk about, whoever we're playing in the first round, than talk about anything that has to do with play-in. I don't want to.
There's a couple interesting things lining up with these two Clipper games. Mm. The first thing is you don't know about Kawhi Leonard, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there were Suns fans yesterday that were upset that Dallas came back and won and that the Clippers came back and won. Mm. But honestly, it could be a blessing in disguise because here's what happens. Kawhi Leonard possibly is going to miss tomorrow's game. Okay. The Clippers pretty much have a three-game lead on Dallas right now. It's two games in a loss column, but the Clippers have the tiebreaker. So there's four games left. They've got a three-game lead. They may be sitting down saying there's no need for us to try to push Kawhi back right now. So you may have a Suns team that plays the Clippers on back-to-back nights without Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. The big game is Tuesday, though, G.
Yeah.
You gotta beat the Clippers potentially without Kawhi. Mm-hmm. And then the Pelicans go in and play the Blazers. That's right. The layup for them. Mm-hmm. If the Suns can handle business and the Pelicans handle business, then it gets tough because the Pelicans got the Kings and it's going to start knocking each other out. The Suns don't have the problem. The Suns only... They play on Friday versus the Kings. That's the only team behind them. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is ahead of them, so it doesn't really matter. So then the Suns are in a good place, but it's imperative. Tuesday's the game. Tomorrow is Tuesday, by the way. Mm-hmm. We got to win this game tomorrow. My day's all messed up. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's a big day. You get through tomorrow, and I think you put yourself in a good spot.
Absolutely. All right, guys, before we dive a little bit deeper and hear from Bradley Beal himself and Kevin Durant, we're going to dive into Brad and just his – ability to kind of navigate being a facilitator and still getting his when it comes to buckets and points on the scoreboard. But I do want to remind you guys before the play-in / NBA playoffs, I'm not trying to jinx anything, tip off. Now is a great time to become a PHNX diehard. When you become a diehard, not only do you immediately get to choose a shirt for free or a hat of your choice for free from the PHNX locker. You also get another one single year at renewal, but you also get instant access to the PHNX Discord lounge to chat with other Phoenix sports fans. You don't have to deal with all the BS that you normally do on Twitter. Mm. Like our Suns Discord is so great. Mm. I absolutely love it. We all have inside jokes as well. So that means you can be a part of that. And then, of course, you unlock 20% off merch and events for the entirety of your time as a member. And these are just some of the perks of becoming a PHNX diehard. But you can head on over to gophnx.com right now and join the best sports fans in the city. Also, as the play-in and the playoffs are just around the corner, now is a great time to sign up for Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. So you just pick more or less It's quite literally that easy. Espo has won so much money on Prize Picks, but you get in. You can get in on NBA playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you bet and the world. As you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason, you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. So you can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, and right now they want to hook you guys up as well. So go to prizepicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. They want to hook you up with up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/PHNX, and the code is PHNX. Pick more, pick less. It's literally that easy.
I don't have a great segue for this.
There's never one.
There's never a good segue. But you remember back in the, when you were in like middle school or elementary school, and you got that uncomfortable video in health and science class or whatever about your own body and anatomy and the growth. And then at least for me, there was one point in time where they kind of told you how to like check yourself out for lumps, right? Well, this is serious, right? This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. And did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35.
That's super young. Which is That's crazy, way more young than I thought.
With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code PHNX20 for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Guys, check yourself out. I don't mean that in a crazy sense. You know what I mean? You should always do that once a week, I think, is the guideline that you should always check out yourself and make sure you don't have any lumps in some places that you shouldn't be having lumps. And take care of yourself, because that shit is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Before we dive in deeper on Bradley Beal, we have a couple things from the chat. Some guy named Justin said, not even mad about this loss. We showed a lot of effort and didn't make too many mistakes. Anyone else want to throat punch Alvarado?
Everybody.
Honestly, I want him on our team.
Yeah, I do too.
I want him
like, on our team. If he was on our team, I would love him. But he's such a, you know what? It's not the fact that he's a nuisance, like in the Pat Bev sense, right? He's like extra Pat Bev. Like he's always talking. He's always got something to say
he's
to somebody
the
on the court.
Of Pat Bev.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm conflicted with Alvarado because he's a New York guy.
Yeah.
And so
he's Puerto Rican.
And he's Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. And so that makes me a little conflicted.
You got to root for him.
But what he was doing yesterday. Oh, yeah, man. That's the guy right after the game. I'm trying to knock his damn head off before he gets to the subway.
My favorite part was when he got all up in the kerfuffle and then when he got to assess the tech and was like, I didn't even do anything. Yeah. What do you mean I didn't do anything?
That's because he didn't do anything. That's like, a New York City trick.
I'm like, yes, you no, did.
That's right? A New York City trick. You know what you do? You run into the scuffle like you tough. But when you get there, you're whispering the book, I got you, dog. We good. Ain't this straight.
No, I understand
So
that.
On video, it makes you look like you a hard ass.
No, I get what you're saying. And it doesn't matter if that is what he did or not. He inserted himself into the kerfuffle face to face. It wasn't like I'm coming in to separate. He went face to face, nose to nose. That's escalating the situation. That's you getting a tech.
It is.
You can't play this. I didn't do anything. You knew exactly what you were doing. Yeah. I'm not mad at it, but I'm just saying. Buddha the Schizo said, I got sick yesterday, but maybe next weekend, in terms of not being able to make it out to our watch party at Gila River Resorts and Casinos.
You missed a vibe.
You did, but I appreciate you not bringing your sickness around because clearly my immune system can't handle anything.
I think
like
Buddha was supposed to come do a handshake with me.
Yeah, but we'll keep you posted on when the next one is, Buddha. We will keep you posted, okay? And then last thing from the chat before we move on. Matt, I made join as a diehard just for Gerald's t-shirt. That looks awesome. That is one of the shirts
you can get
your hands on in our PHNX locker when you become a diehard. Okay, moving on. Let's talk a little bit more about Bradley Beal. And we'll start by hearing from Bradley Beal himself on opening the scoring back up.
That I can do it. And I mean, it doesn't. I don't feel good about it because we lost. this is something like, I mean, I can care less about how many I scored in an L. I think for me, it's being aggressive. It keeps the floor open. It keeps defenses honest. I think they were trying to hide Zion on me, so I'm going to score. I think they were trying to hide several defenders on me because they figured I don't shoot as much, but I'm not allowing that to happen anymore. You know, I was kind of just reprogramming my mind of just, you know, being aggressive. And my teammates and coaches all instilled that in me, too, to just be aggressive, look for your shot, stop always looking to just, you know, create and pass when you attack. But, you know, at the same time, it keeps defenses honest, man. Everybody out there has to guard. We're not going to just allow you to hide and not be involved in action.
So I love what he said there because there's this narrative, and I can understand the narrative, that Book and KD are the two alpha, quote-unquotes, on the team, right? Mm. But if you have Bradley Beal, which we saw before this game, we saw a couple times where he just was not being aggressive enough when the opportunity presented itself, right? He was trying to defer to everybody else. He was kind of overpassing from time to time. That Bradley Beal will get you nowhere. It will get you nowhere. You have to have a Bradley Beal that is still a threat out there. Otherwise, the gravity of himself will not matter. And so you see teams starting to think, well, he's not going to do it. So let's just back off of him and focus more on KD and Book. And then he cooks him. Mm-hmm. Like, be careful what you wish for, because if you woke him up, I keep saying, I said this all season, and I will not back away from this, Bradley Beal is the difference between the Suns reaching or not reaching their max potential and their ceiling, in my opinion, because he has the most impact on the game. You know what the other two are going to bring. We saw what those other two basically could do by themselves last year in the playoffs against the Nuggets. What we didn't see was that third person that could help out because Chris Paul got hurt. And everybody keeps saying, like, in game two, the Suns might have won if Chris Paul didn't get hurt. Well, we'll never know. Now you got Bradley Beal. If he doesn't get hurt and he's playing at a high level, what's it going to look like? Because I think everybody can assume that we could all feel pretty good if Bradley Beal's playing at his peak, Book's playing at his peak, and KD's playing at his peak. There's not going to be very many teams that can beat this team. So Bradley Beal focusing and being assertive when the time calls for it, when the opportunity presents itself, is the best version of Bradley Beal because he can still do everything they're asking him to do while also being aggressive.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. This was the bright spot for me. This is what softened the blow of the loss a little bit because the playoffs are right around the corner. And you wanted to see that signature Brad Beal game where it's like, yo, I'm here. I can do this. I can take over. And so that tape rolls over. Yeah. So now the Clippers now sitting here like, yo, when we game planning, you can't sleep on that dude. That dude can drop 40 on you. So I think the timing of it was perfect. And I think the way he did it was perfect because it just wasn't 33. It was, we're down 10, and I took over a quarter, and I ISO'd you, and I took big shot after big shot after big shot. And that's how playoff basketball works out. People are going to try really hard to take Book and KD out of the game, and now you have some evidence that if you get the ball to Bradley Beal, he can win some games for you.
Yeah, there's been so much talk about, you know, how much the big three is making or who is the point guard of this team and all these different things. And I think not enough credit has been given to Bradley Beal for the way that he's adjusted to fit in with this big three. Because we've been saying it since we first found out they were going to be playing together, that all three of these guys can play on the ball or they can play off the ball. But early in the season, because Beal was out so much and because Book was out here and there, those two had to really pick up the slack, and Book was mostly the point guard for a lot of that. And now that they've been healthy again for a stretch of games, we've seen them ask Bradley Beal to do more point guard stuff and him kind of go a little too far into that. And then them have to swing him back and say, we still need you to attack. And everybody from Frank Vogel, KD, Book, everybody has been in Beal's ear about, we need you to look for your shot and to hunt. And we talked a lot about with their fourth quarter struggles, those stretches to start the fourth, those 4 to 6 minutes where Book is on the bench as what normally lets those leads spiral out of control or what normally the Suns really struggle in those stretches. Last night, that was the stretch where Beal took over. That was when he was his most aggressive. So that was huge to see because he had been saying, I'd asked him about it, and he said, I feel like we're getting more comfortable now that we have the bench rotation ironed out. And now that we know what guys we're going to be playing with in that stretch, like, it feels more comfortable. So this is huge because, like you said, Saul, Beal is that third piece that can push the Suns into unfair, unstoppable territory. They just have to figure out that balance. And because they've only played 36 games together, I think it's been more of a work in progress than we expected.
I really hope before the end of the season we see a game where all of them are clicking, like at a high level, not just like each one of them's got 25 or something. I'm talking about like, you pick your poison at every possession down
Leo
the court.
Leo in the chat is asking for a game where Book goes for 50, KD goes for 40, and Beal goes for 30.
Damn, that's a lot. That's a lot of points.
That's 100, I mean, that's 120
tell
points.
Tell me that would not be a vibe.
That'd probably be the greatest game from three teammates.
Our heads would be so big we couldn't fit through a door if that ever happened.
I mean, again, that's what I'm hoping for, because we've seen teams play in the past where you're watching them and you just can't figure out, like, how could you possibly stop that team? You know what I mean? And these three have the ability to do that. We just haven't seen that all at the same time before. So I'm hoping that the best is yet to come, for sure. I do feel good because we're right on the heels of Book having back-to-back phenomenal games. KD was in a groove just before that as well, and even during Book's games, he was still dropping 25, 30. And then now Beal's coming into the mix. Man, if you can get all three of those guys locked in, that does change the dynamic, because for as up and down as the season has been, you could make an argument that we haven't seen the best of the big three still. And despite that, they still might find themselves as a 50-win basketball team when all is said and done, which is miraculous. And you got to give them credit for that. So I'm optimistic that the best is still yet to come.
You know what I'm interested with about Brad Beal is that game he had yesterday, and even the day before he showed flashes. Devin and Kevin did not start the fourth. Brad was by himself.
Yep.
And so I wonder if I love that we're doing it. I wonder if we took a little too long to do that. And I feel like with Brad being out there by himself, he can be himself. Right? You need the scoring. I feel like if you put him out there with Book and KD, there's that tendency to be a little bit passive. And so I like the fact that Kevin and Devin aren't starting the fourth quarters anymore. Brad's out there by himself with four guys, and you're letting him be Brad. And so I want to see this. Two games in a row they've done it. I want to see if they follow up on that.
I wonder if Frank isn't going to get to a point where he's just like, you know what, to start the fourth, I'm going to go with the hot hand. Just to, you know, for like 3 or 4 minutes just to stem the tide, and then bring the other two guys, whoever or not, on fire off the bench to replace the guy that was hot, so he can get a little breather. And then they all ride out like the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game. You know what I mean? I could see that happening. Because if Book is on a heater going into the fourth quarter, you don't really want to take him out of the game because he's feeling really, really good, right?
Right.
And same thing with KD. But then again, you start to mess with rotations and, you know, consistencies and stuff like that. So who knows?
And we know come playoff time, like we saw it last year, hopefully KD and Book are not playing, you know, 45 minutes a night like last year. But in do or die games, that's what it's going to be. So you're going to take him out for like 1 to 2 minutes in the second quarter when Book normally gets his rest, and he might play the whole second half. So a lot of the stuff that we're seeing kind of goes out the window when those playoff minutes get higher, but it's good to see that like Beal is capable of if there's foul trouble, if somebody goes down in one game or whatever, that Beal is feeling more comfortable. Like, yeah, I know this is my pocket to attack now, and I'm ready to do that.
Love it.
So a couple things from the chat. Big Crack in the Back, hilarious name, said,
love it.
Game plan will always be, quote, make Beal beat us for other teams, though. Here's the thing, though. I'm not mad at that because Beal can beat them. You know what I mean? Like, sure, last night the Suns lost the game, but as we talked about at the beginning of the show, like, outrageous performance from Zion, CJ McCollum in the mix of that, too. But when we're talking about like a series, I don't think that you might drop a few games where guys like EG and maybe what's his name again?
Grayson Allen.
Thank you. Saul's laughing in these comments, and I'm trying really hard.
No, I'm not laughing at the comics. So this is us. His profile picture is me and Bo at the Super Bowl, and the guy in the background is showing his ass crack.
That's a great all together. Like
nicely
Abby
done.
Plus names.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
Fantastic.
How did you see that?
Okay, back to the point though.
No, I remember it. I was there.
Back to the point though. I don't. Throughout a 7-game series, you're not going to have every single night that EG and Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal have a shooting night like they did last night. You know what I mean? I would hope not.
You would hope.
I'm choosing to believe that doesn't happen.
Yes.
So that's why I'm okay with this. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Devin and Kevin could have played a little bit better last night. Mm-hmm. even despite all the other things we already talked about. So, and in a playoff series, I would assume they would elevate their game a little bit more.
The key is being versatile enough to have multiple ways to beat a team, because we've seen in the last couple of years with Devin and Chris or Devin and Kevin that it's been like, okay, if we take these two guys away, who's going to beat us? TJ Warren or like Torrey Kale Craig? Bridges,
Tamrish Rawls.
Right. Yeah. Like DA? No, none of these guys are going to beat us. So now you have three. And now if you try to take away one as the initiator, okay, we've got two others that can do it as well. So I know that it's been rough in that process at times for some of these guys. All three of them, it's been rough at times in this process as far as being the point guard or the initiator. But they all have experience now with doing that, playing off the ball, playing on the ball. And I think that makes you more dangerous in a playoff setting.
All right. Now, here's what Kevin Durant had to say last night about Bradley Beal being more aggressive as a scorer.
It was definitely, what was he, 13 for 19, 7 for 8 from the three. Damn. You know, I feel like he was aggressive. He played with emotion and passion and energy. Always do it, but it showed a little bit more in his face and his body language tonight. Making shots like that is just exciting for everybody. Fadeaways out the corner, pull-up threes, like he was incredible. And that's what we're going to need from him going forward. And it's good that he can do pretty much, play different roles, and he's learning different roles, playing a point guard, guarding some of the best players in the league, having to score for us in that start of fourth quarter like he did tonight. So. You know, I know it's later in the season, but every rep is important, and it's an opportunity for us to grow. And you know, you can see that Brad is accepting his role with the team.
Yeah, that's what I've been talking about, playing multiple roles, and he's being comfortable with it, and he's had to adjust more than anybody on this team. So hats off to him for recognizing the different needs that this team has had and being able to adjust his game and his mindset accordingly, because that's not easy to do when you go from the guy in DC to I'm going to do whatever the team needs me to do on a given night.
Yeah, this guy was a 30-point scorer 2 years in a row. You know what I mean? He was getting 22 to 23 shots a game with Washington. Mm-hmm. You look at a box score some nights, Brad Beal got 8 shots. Mm-hmm. That's got to be really tough on a guy that's that talented, that's got that pride and worked so hard to get to the level that he's at to sacrifice. But he's done an incredible job of just doing what the coaches need and what the team needs. And now this is what we need. We need Brad to be a scorer. So he's unique in that way. He's a really good ball player.
I've been a little bit upset this season at how often people just dismiss Bradley Beal like he's some scrub. Mm-hmm. Like he's some second tier superstar. He's not. He's a really, really, really good player. You don't make $50 million a year just because you're some scrub. You know what I mean? Like, and even amongst us Suns fans, sometimes it's just like they're so dismissive of Bradley Beal at times. And I'm like, y'all are sleeping on how good this guy is. Like, if he wants to take over a game, he could take over a game. He just doesn't because he's trying to play within the team concept. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I think you're starting to see Bradley Beal. I mean, that quote in itself, like his comments right there, tells me that there was a little bit of a shift in his mind this week in terms of like being passive, taking what the defense has given you, and really asserting yourself in the game. You have to make it known that you are a threat out there. Otherwise, you're not. Mm-hmm. And defenses won't have to account for you, and you make it too easy for them to guard this team. If you're a threat, they have to acknowledge you. They have to at least scheme for you, which means, hey, guess what? Devin Booker's going to be a little bit more open. Yeah. KD's going to be a little bit open. The mismatches are going to be more vulnerable. Like, you got to take advantage of this.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Heat team. Mm-hmm. How I used to hear it all today. It used to drive me nuts. People used to kill Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. Chris Bosh is soft. He's overrated. He ain't that good. Mm-hmm. When he went to Miami, man, he had to sacrifice so much to play with LeBron and D-Wade. This guy was averaging 25, 26 a game. He went down to like 14. Mm-hmm. And there were people like, this guy's over. And I'm like, man, y'all don't know how hard it is to play with those two guys at that level and at that time. It's no different, man. Brad is very much in the same situation Chris Bosh was in. You got Devin Booker, you got Kevin Durant. How do I fit in without getting in their way, stepping in their toes? That's a tough thing to navigate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just happy Brad is figuring it out. And we're going to need every bit of him for the playoffs.
And Bosh was like a pick and roll, pick and pop guy.
Yes.
Like, imagine doing this as a point guard / shooting guard.
Correct.
Who's having to share ball handling. So
correct.
If you are interested in finding out more about how Beal has kind of mentally processed all this, the conversations he's had with the Suns about his role and whatever. That's what I'll be writing about tomorrow at gophnx.com. So make sure to check that out.
Yes, and if you are interested in catching one of the final games of the regular season, make sure you use our friends over at Game Time to get your tickets. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes getting tickets to concerts or sporting events can be an absolute headache. Maybe you just can't find the right ticket. You don't know for certain if the seats are good because it's your first time in the arena or the stadium. But with our friends over at Game Time, they make everything so much easier.
You want to $153 gets you into the national championship game. Ever heard of it?
Nice. Yeah,
tonight.
There you go.
Ever heard of it?
$153.
Ever heard of it?
I'm not familiar. Can you enlighten me?
Well, if you're not familiar but you'd like to get familiar, download Game Time, sign up using the code PHNX, and you can save $20 off your first purchase, which means, what'd you say? How much was it?
153.
So there you go. 123? Did I do the math right? 33? 133? I didn't do the math right. $133,
yeah. I'm going to let you work through this one.
I know. I always try and get the math right, but I
Hold
never
up.
Do.
Let her cook.
It's always $10 for whatever
it's
reason.
Burnt.
I can't freaking do it. But I promise you, our friends over at Game Time will do the math right, and they'll make sure everything goes absolutely smoothly for you. So no matter if you're looking for last-minute deals or flash deals, because sometimes they have that on the app as well, so you can get discounts on that. Make sure you take the guesswork out of buying tickets when you use Game Time. Again, download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply, but again, create an account and redeem that code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. You could also get tickets maybe to check out shows at Gila River Resorts and Casinos.
Yeah, you can.
This weekend, they had some really cool shows going on. E-40 and Ice Cube out there performing on Saturday night. We had an absolute blast hanging out all weekend at the Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino, part of the Gila River Resorts and Casinos, for our watch parties. The Collection by Mike Bibby was live out there. I actually think it's still going on today.
Today's the last day. Today, if you want to go out and check out Mike and check out his shoes and the shoes that are donated by, Guest List. Yeah, yeah, Guest List donated a lot of shoes to the cause. I mean, they didn't donate. They just let them use them for the thing. But like
for the show, you could
Ray
just see
Allen,
extra shoes.
Yeah, Ray Allen had his shoes on display, which was fantastic. And then obviously the book ones are out there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a good vibe. It's a great, great setting. And those games, to watch it in that little space is fantastic. And there's more to come from that space as well in the future.
Yeah. Gila River Resorts and Casinos, no one does it better. So head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what next level is all about. You do you. At Gila River Resorts and Casinos, visit play at Gila.com for more details.
You know what people sleep on, by the way? Mm. Just throwing this out there.
Mattress.
This weekend on Saturday is UFC 300. Ooh. April 13th, and there's not a better setting to go and watch these fights than Gila River Resorts and Casinos, whether it be Santan or Bikiva or Wild Horse Pass. I mean, it's all Lone Butte. They're all fantastic. The sports books are second to none.
Yeah, it's dope.
All right, guys, let's take a peek at the Western Conference standings here, and then we're gonna rank them.
Oh, okay. God.
Rank
what? We're gonna have a little fun.
Rank what?
The top 10 teams in the West.
No.
Okay, no. So here are the standings. Okay, it's not looking too bad right now. We got Minnesota, Denver, OKC, Los Angeles Lakers. For a minute there, I thought it was the Lakers, but it's the Clippers. Then we have the Dallas Mavericks. We've got Phoenix, New Orleans, Sacramento, now the Lakers, and then Golden State. And there are no games tonight to watch, which is kind of a bummer.
I'm going to sleep. I need it.
Flex is like, I'm okay. I need to take a nap. I need to take a nap. But let's go ahead and kind of rank these. Eric has put together a tier list for us. And we're going to talk about them as contenders. Okay. So we've got, here are the categories. Title contenders, big threat, tough out, long shot, and no shot. So we're going to go in no particular order here, unless somebody has one that they know, like they want to kind of like immediately put into a category that is not an obvious one.
I have one.
Yeah.
Okay. No shot. Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Agree.
Yeah.
All right.
No
Kings
shot.
Kings are
Sacramento
off the table.
Kings.
None of us are really buying the Kings. So
long shot. Can I throw one in a long shot?
So, well, since we started with the Kings as a no shot, why don't we go ahead and knock off Denver? Because I think for me, Denver is obviously a title contender.
Yes. Yeah.
So we took the two ends of the spectrum here, okay? Now I'm going to throw out some random names for you guys. But I also want to know why with all of these ones. Obviously, the Kings, I'm sure you guys have the same feelings that a lot of people do. I'm just not sure we're buying what they're selling.
Yeah.
Denver, if you're the reigning champs, you automatically get the respect in there.
Yeah. Well, the Kings, go ahead.
The reason why I put the Kings there is they just don't have much front court size to be able to compete against a guy like Jokic, to be honest with you. Like, I know, you know, Sabonis does a very, very good job, but in the playoffs, you saw last year, there were some times where he got taken advantage of because of his limited size. And I think when you get to the playoffs and things slow down, that's what teams look at.
Yeah. Plus, they lost Kevin Herter and
that's
Malik.
What I was going to say. And that too. That's what I was going to say. The minute they lost Kevin Herter and Malik Monk, they go to no shot for me. If they had those guys, they wouldn't be a no shot for me. But with those two guys out, wow, that's just a lot to replace. Those guys were playing terrific. They take a lot of shooting away from them. Now they become more one-dimensional. So, yeah, no shot, unfortunately, for me because of injuries.
Okay. Next team I'm going to throw out, the New Orleans Pelicans. Where are we going to place them?
I like them. Well, go ahead. I like them as tough out.
Yeah. That's where I was going to put them. Yeah.
Why?
Tough out.
You got to put some respect on them. Yeah. Like, you can't completely count them out.
No, you can't completely count them out. Also, like, if Brandon Ingram comes back.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're clicking and they're playing within their identity, which was, we saw that last night. They're going to be, they can compete. They can compete. They can beat anybody in the league, but they've been very inconsistent as well, just like the Suns have been. And they, from time to time, will lose their DNA and try to get too finessey instead of being physical and dominant the way they have been.
Their thing for me is, if Zion plays the way that he did last night and is fully engaged on both ends, they're terrifying.
Yes.
Because what we saw last night, he was the best player on the court with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Like, and defensively, he was swatting everything.
Yeah.
Freak of nature athlete.
I don't even think that was a swat. I think that was just a volleyball spike.
Yeah. Like, he's scary for me. The question is, will he play like that all the time? And B, are the Pelicans going to do what they did against the Suns and say, we can't leave Jonas on the court in this matchup? We've got to go small with Zion at the five. Are they going to do that consistently? That's my thing.
Here's my pattern that I look at with the Pelicans. Zion's been playing terrific. Mm-hmm. You know where that lines up with? Brandon Ingram's injury. Okay, once Brandon comes back, he has a tendency to fall back into the old Zion.
Yeah.
I would argue that they're better off with this Zion.
Right.
But it happens to the Clippers as well. You see, PG goes nuts when Kawhi's out. Mm-hmm. And then Kawhi comes back in and PG falls right back into that third thing. So there is a such thing as players not being able to fit into the role that fits their team. And I think that's the problem. Once B.I. gets back, that Zion becomes less aggressive and they stop using him. And that's why I think they're a tough out, but they're I don't want to play them, man. That's a tough team.
I mean, I think you could say the same thing about the Suns and trying to figure out how to blend these big three together this year. We've seen that the exact same thing happen where there's been moments where one of them, the overpassing, right?
Yep.
Like, too many extra passes here. Yep. Somebody's got to shoot it at some point in time. Yep. And just trying to figure out the balance there. So
Can we go ahead.
I'm going to say Timberwolves next.
Oh, Timberwolves.
Timberwolves.
Tough out?
Timberwolves.
Yeah, I think
I like
tough
them
out
tough out.
Yeah?
In front or behind Pelicans?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, now, okay. Huh? So now we have to rank them in the same category now. So you have the Timberwolves and the Pelicans in tough out. Which one is?
I still like the Pelicans.
I think the Pelicans are ahead of
Pelicans
are
tougher to meet in Minnesota.
Okay, so the Pelicans are tougher than the Wolves.
It's tough because it feels like disrespect because, like, they are the number one team in the West. They're the number one defense, and they're playing, like, historically great defense. But I don't think they have the horses offensively to keep up in a playoff series.
Agreed.
So I think
that's my problem.
Defenses are going to clamp down across the board, so the difference there is not going to be as glaring in a playoff series. Anthony Edwards is incredible, but he has to carry a lot of that load. And I don't know what, like, how much rust is Kat going to have to shake off after missing basically a month.
I don't even think.
I'm with Kat.
Yeah, with Kat. But I'm not sure Kat's going to be able to play the first round.
Well, didn't we just get an update?
Well,
Sham
said that
they keep reporting.
They're hopeful that he'll return before the end of the regular season.
They keep reporting
by Sunday?
Yeah, they keep. I mean,
that's a week.
I don't buy it.
This could be the ramp up phase.
This could be me just these. This could just me having conversations with people that don't know what they're talking about. But I trust some of the people I talk to, and I don't think he's gonna play in the first round. I think he's gonna be one of those things where they're gonna leverage him. And it's going to be like every game he may come back.
Right.
Similar to Paul George last year with the Clippers did. They knew he was out the whole series, but every game he was a game time decision.
Years ago in the
Kawhi, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's kind of where they're at. So I still like the Pelicans a little bit more.
Okay. Some people in the chat are not in agreement with us. Sean said Minnesota's, Sean has them as a tough out. Taran, though, big threat because Kat is going to be back. Based on the reports,
I
of course.
I still think even with
and then
Kat,
Freddie said Pels over Wolves was crazy.
I don't think so.
I might have put the Wolves over the Pels just to give respect to them because their defense is like otherworldly. But again, I don't think they have the horses to keep off offensively. And I think depending on the matchup, like we've seen what happens to Rudy Gobert in playoff series defensively.
Cooked.
We've seen Kat get cooked defensively, even though he's having the best defensive season of his career.
Yeah.
I just don't have enough stock in them as a younger team to believe that this playoffs is going to be different for some of those guys.
And in addition to that, they haven't done anything in the playoffs of late. Like in the last couple of years, what's their biggest win is just to get past the play-in and Pat Bev going crazy into the crowd.
Yeah.
That's what you're hanging your hat on. Like, no, until you prove it in the playoffs, then I'm not believing it. The Pelicans at least have played us tough 6 games. And it could have gone in any either way had it not been for DA playing phenomenally in that series and Chris Paul playing, not missing a damn shot in game 6. Like, you know, so like some things had to go our way in order to just get past that physical team. Yeah. And we saw that yesterday. We've mollywopped the Timberwolves twice already. Like when I watch them, I'm like, it's a cute story. But when the playoffs hit, it's time for the big boys to play.
I will
you
say
guys
this.
Go away.
I think Minnesota's a good team. I just think the Suns are a bad matchup for them.
They are.
That is so, and sometimes that happens. So I may be judging Minnesota based on my feeling against the Suns.
That's fair. Are there a team where you think Minnesota has the bigger, like a huge edge over as far as the top 10 here that we're talking about?
Huge
edge?
Yeah.
Like maybe even the top 8. Huh? Let's talk about that.
Hold on. They have played the Nuggets well, but I would never say that any of these teams have an advantage against the Nuggets right
like
now.
Like who on this list, you could say all of them, that would you say that the Timberwolves have the advantage over?
The Kings.
The Kings?
The Kings because they hurt Lakers and Warriors.
So only the play-in basically now who are in that area right now.
Yeah, I think the Lakers and Warriors belong in long shot.
I think they match up okay with OKC because they have guys that can contain the ball, which is something that not a lot of these teams have. Like, we don't match up well with OKC because they have so many guys that can break you down off the dribble.
Correct.
But I wouldn't pick them over OKC just because they match up slightly better.
Okay.
So.
All right. RIP Timberwolves. Next team, the Clippers. Where are we going to place the Clippers?
Big threat.
Big threat.
Big threat. I'm big cool threat with big threat. Saul, are you? You're not buying it so much?
No. I'll take big threat. I'm between tough out and big threat.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like the Clippers are always that what if team. What if they could be healthy? What if they could put it together? What if they are all grooving? You know what I mean? And they just haven't been able to do it. So that's the part that makes me want to put them as tough out. But they do have the potential to play at a very high level. They do have the potential to get to the NBA Finals, but they just haven't done it. So I'm okay with big threat.
I think they are a big threat because the big threat category for me is a team that could absolutely win the West if everything goes right, or they could, like, their very obvious fatal flaws could come back to hurt them. And I think the Clippers, if those three guys are playing at the level that they've played for a lot of the season, they're a legitimate threat. But can I trust Harden in a playoff series? Can I trust Paul George in a playoff series? Like,
can you trust Kawhi to stay healthy?
Right. Like, there's a lot of questions around them. So I think big threat is probably the perfect spot for them right
That's
now.
That's where I'm at with them. That big three gets hot, they can go all the way to the finals. They have an issue, they could flame out in the first round. But it's still a big threat for me because if they can get to the finals, to me, that you got to go into the big threat category.
Yeah, I'm happy with the Clippers in the big threat category. Before we dive into the remainder of the teams in this, I do want to remind you guys that our friends over at the Arizona Lottery has introduced a unique new ticket and promotion called Arizona Adventures. Now, there are three ways to play and win big. First, you can play Arizona Adventure lottery tickets. These lottery tickets feature three iconic landscapes: Picacho Peak, Monument Valley, and Camelback Mountain. They're super cool looking scratchers, and they have prizes up to $50,000. Now, if you want to get outside and explore a little bit, you can also check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state, from Flagstaff to Yuma. All you got to do is visit azadventures.com for details and directions and how to check in at destination coordinates on the website. So you literally get rewarded, like you get your name dropped in a hat, essentially to win cash and Arizona travel prizes for just getting out and exploring our beautiful state. Or you can enter tickets online for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. The Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It is also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. And do it sooner rather than later, because the weather is still bearable right now. But we're
hurtling towards the end.
Yeah. It's it's gonna get a little bit warm out there this weekend, y'all. But also want to remind you that for more than 84 years, our friends over at Desert Financial Credit Union have been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union, dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and providing financial solutions that make lives better. And right now they want to hook you up. When you open a free checking account online, you're going to get $200 in bonuses. You can get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. But you can also look to Desert Financial for checking accounts and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and so much more. Their team of financial experts are committed to their members and the community. So make sure you check them out again. That is desertfinancial.com/200 to get hooked up with $200 in bonuses when you open a free checking account online. All right.
Hey, we got 287 people watching and only 35 likes.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Guys. Come on.
Wow, guys.
Why?
Hit that like button. Gerald asked nicely, kind of. He did.
This was Grayson Allen asking Suns fans to be louder.
This was. All right. Next team up on the list. Where are we going to put the Thunder?
You're going all with all the top dogs, man. Right off the bat. All
Some
right.
of them.
I like the OKC Thunder also as a big threat.
Okay.
I just don't think they're title contenders. But I mean...
But do you trust them enough?
I don't. I mean, they're so young.
The question about the Timberwolves is show us first, to me, they're better than the Timberwolves.
I agree they're better than the Timberwolves.
But that was an argument that if you haven't done it before, you got to prove it.
But, I mean, I don't know.
I just think Shea
is like one of those guys in the league that is just – I get with the Timberwolves and Ant. I just feel like Shea's on another level right now. He's just playing phenomenally, and he's such a tough guy to guard. And everybody else, all the other pieces are really, really good too. And like Gerald said, you know, any one of them can break you down and take advantage of you. And we've seen that multiple times against the Suns. So I think OK's a big threat, and I think that they're ahead of the Clippers in terms of being a big threat.
I do too.
Yeah, I would put them in the title contender category. I do understand putting them in big threat just because of the lack of experience. Like, Shea's the only guy, and Lou Dort are the only guys that really have playoff experience in their top eight or whatever. They are a really deep team, though, and I think a lot of people had similar questions about the Suns team from a few years back that went to the finals because we had our top four guys had never played a playoff game before. I think Shea is a matchup nightmare. I think Jalen Williams is maybe the most underrated player in the league.
He's going to be all-star.
And I think Chet Holmgren, if he brings it, like if they don't get bothered by the lights, the bright lights of the playoffs, they're a team that could absolutely win the West.
Yeah.
But I do think the lack of experience will matter in a playoff series at some point.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. I agree.
All right. This one is an easier one. The Warriors.
I think they're a long,
long
shot.
Long shot.
A long shot. I had them in no shot.
Yeah.
I don't say no shot just because their championship DNA, Steph.
You got to give them a little bit
Like, you got to give them a little bit of credit. To put them next to the Kings in terms of no shot is just disrespectful to former champions, in my opinion.
I mean, they went still, 7 with the Kings last year.
I know, but they beat the Kings. And they should have been a long shot last year, too. You know what I mean? Like, and they were. So, I think they get a little bit of the respect gives them the long shot, in my opinion.
That's fair.
That's where I'm at with it. It's just Steph. I got too much love and respect for Steph. So he's a long shot, but yeah, no shot.
I don't know. Do we
Steph.
Even trust that Draymond will be on the court for any of the playoffs? Like, that's a fair question to ask.
Gee, I'm with you. I don't really think they're going to do anything, but just out of respect, I'm going long
it's
shot.
It's over for them. Yeah. It's over. They're done. They're I'm cooked. Sorry. They're done. I don't even care. Right? Like, I don't normally come out with flaming hot takes. They're cooked. They're not a good team. I don't think they're even going to make it out of the play-in. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I think you're right, G.
I don't think they make it out of the play-in.
It depends on who they play in the play-in.
Probably going to be if they play Lakers. The Kings, I think they'll win the first game.
And then yeah.
And then I don't think they're beating whoever's left in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. to the Warriors as well. All right, the Suns. Where are we going to put the Suns?
Big threat.
Big threat.
On this ranking. Ahead of OKC and the Clippers?
No. Keep them right where they are.
Yep. At the end of OKC and the Clippers.
That's where I think they belong.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Until proven otherwise, that's where they belong.
Lindsay, you look sad.
If we beat the hell out of the Clippers on Tuesday and Wednesday, then we can revisit the list.
We have been being a lot more optimistic on this program as of late, mm-hmm. and I feel like that just made it real. I don't know.
I don't think it's real. I mean, listen, that the Suns have the potential to beat anybody in the league.
I mean,
they
not
also
wrong.
Have the potential to lose to anybody in the
this
league.
Is true.
And that's the problem with the Suns right now. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get. They've played far more consistently in this last 6-game stretch mm-hmm. than they have basically all season. Mm-hmm. But they still have lapses every now and then. You have guys that just will disappear like we saw yesterday and like Grayson Allen or whatever. So that's the thing is like the depth in the bench to me for the Suns is what could ultimately get them in the end. Can those guys play at a high level? I feel like you feel pretty good with the big three and where they're at and where they're developing to, but it's everybody else. It's the supporting cast. Can you get enough from them? To me, that's the differentiator, and that's why I would put them behind OKC and LA Clippers.
Yeah, for the meantime, OKC and the Clippers get the bid over the Suns because they've done it for longer than the regular season. Mm. Now, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. When the playoffs start, G, everybody goes to zero. It's first of 16. Mm. Whole different ball game. I think the Suns are right where they need to be in the big threat. But here's the thing I'm looking at. So far, the teams that have been positioned, look how tough this damn conference is, man. Like, you got a title contender. And then literally right there, if you're in big threat or tough out, I mean, that means you're a very good team, mm-hmm. right? There's 5 of them, and we still got 2 dangling. Mm-hmm. Like, this Western Conference is going to be one of the most intriguing playoff races I've ever seen in my life in the West this year.
Right. It's going to come down to matchups because you could give me the 8 teams that are going head-to-head, and I might totally change my rankings just based on who they have to get through in the first round.
Facts.
Like, if the Suns get a team like the Pelicans or the Timberwolves that they match up with, or if, you know, they're not going to, but that would totally change things compared to an OKC in the first round.
Correct.
All right. The Lakers.
Lakers, to me, are a tough out.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I had them in long shot.
I would put them in long shot as well.
I mean, again, like, I would feel the same way, but I saw it last year. That's the problem. True. Like, I thought that they would be a long shot last year, and they got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Right. Like, somehow, some way, LeBron and that crew figures out what they need to do by the end, and they somehow find their way to playoff success. And so I would say tough out because they will be a tough out. Yeah. If the Suns had to play them in the playoffs, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a tough game.
Again, I'm gauging a lot of my rankings based on what I think the Suns match up with them kind of too. That's a tough out for me. But I'm with G. Initially, when I first looked at it, I said Lakers, Warriors were long shots. But now that I'm seeing this play out, just like Saul said, they can get to the conference finals if the matchup is right.
And they've been playing really, really good in the last couple weeks.
They have been playing better. I think if I'm looking at it in terms of how likely are they to win the West, long shot.
That's true.
They're not winning three straight playoff series. I don't need, like, LeBron is still LeBron and Anthony Davis has had a great season, but they're where they are in the West for a reason. Like, I don't have trust in them winning three playoff series against all these teams.
But if they won two and got to the conference finals, that would make them a tough out. Now, I get what you're saying.
I don't even know if they're, like, they have to get out of the play-in first. I don't know. I have to get out of the first round.
I honestly think they can get to seven. I think there's a map for them to get to seven.
Then you could be playing Denver in the first round and you're going home. I don't know.
Or you could run into Minnesota and knock them out. Experience in that youth, like, that's when that's going to put that team to the test to find out, like, what are they really made out of?
Yeah.
You just never know with these series.
The thing is, I have more faith in the Lakers than I do the Warriors right now.
Yeah.
So if we have Warriors in long shot, I kind of feel like you have to put Lakers in tough out. But if we had Warriors in the no shot, I would have thought Lakers would be long shot.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. Where do you guys want to put this? In front of the Warriors on long shot or at the end?
I think he's got a
Timberwolves and Warriors. Either category, I don't care. They're below the Timberwolves to me, but they're ahead of the Warriors.
Okay. Somebody pick.
Put them in tough out.
At the end of tough out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The Mavs.
Big threat.
Yeah, big threat.
But where in
right
this category?
Right after the Suns.
I think the Mavs are ahead of the Clippers.
Ahead of the Clippers.
I think the Mavs have the most potential to beat anybody in the league. Boy. Their high is so damn high with Kyrie and Luka. Those guys go nuclear, it's over.
That's true.
Like, and we've seen that a couple times where, I mean, Luka's a walking 40-15-10 triple-double. Like, yeah. And then Kyrie plays the way he is, and he's just like, how do you beat this team? You know what I mean? Like, and that's just two dudes.
Yeah.
So you think, because I'm telling you right now, that's the matchup. Mavericks and Clippers are playing in the first round. That's pretty much set in stone.
And I would pick the Mavs.
That's pretty much set. So you're saying you're taking the Mavs.
Yeah, I would.
I would probably pick the Mavs too, just because of what Luka's been capable of doing to them in the past.
I'm cool with that.
I know that the Clippers have won both of those series.
I'm cool with that.
But I think it's different. Like, there's only been three pairs of teammates in NBA history that have both been putting up 25 points a game on 60% true shooting. It's I forgot who it was, the first one, but the other two are Devin Booker and Kevin Durant this year and Luka and Kyrie this year. So, like, they are just as capable of going toe-to-toe with anybody. Mm-hmm. And they've been peaking at the right time. It feels like they've hit momentum. Their trade deadline acquisitions were really good.
Yeah.
And we know firsthand what Luka can do to anybody. I don't know.
All right. I don't want no part of him.
No. I mean, if you were to ask me what one team you do not want to see in the playoffs right off the bat, it was definitely Dallas. I did not want to see Dallas in the first round. Hell, I don't want to see them in the second round. I'd rather, if I have to face them, I want to face them in the Western Conference Finals after they had to face everybody else, because I just feel like Dallas could potentially be the most dangerous team on this entire list.
I agree. Now that y'all broke it down, I agree. They're right there behind OKC. They're probably the most dangerous or the big threat behind OKC.
All right. So at the end of this all, we have title contenders as the Denver Nuggets. Then we've got our big threats. And in order, it goes the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Dallas Mavericks, the LA Clippers, and the Phoenix Suns. In the tough out category, we got the New Orleans Pelicans, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Los Angeles Lakers. In the long shot category, we've got the Golden State Warriors, and then the no shot, the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Sorry, are we all happy with how we kind of
I think that's fantastic.
Put these ones out?
Yeah.
And what's crazy is the margin between a lot of these teams is like razor thin.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We need to go back to our preseason NBA predictions, because there's some pretty good juice in there.
I just want to say,
I thought the Kings were going to finish barely in the playoffs, if not in the play-in, and I thought the Oklahoma City Thunder were going to be one of the top teams in the league. I was right.
I mean, probably wrong about six other teams. Yeah, he ain't going to say that. He just going to point out the two he was
wrong
about
anybody else.
All right. Two final things before we get out of here. One, we have a super chat from Abraham, and they said, as much as I don't like Eubanks, he did a good job.
Eubanks?
Eubanks.
I didn't want to read it that way.
Call attention to it.
That was mean. I feel bad for him. That poor guy gets shot on every night. Blessings.
Blessings.
Okay, and then last but not least, the fifth member of our program, Espo, has a special delivery for
Eric.
Happy birthday,
my boy Imani.
So everybody drop him some love in the chat. You can tweet at him at Eric Ruby with a K on Twitter. But make sure you guys send him some love. Happy birthday, Eric.
Getting old, dude.
Oh, no. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow with a pre and a post game show. And until then, you can give the show a follow on social at PHNX_Suns. You can follow me at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Flex at Flex from Jersey. And of course, you can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. Gerald, do you want to take us home?
Go ahead,
you
man. Yeah, I'm going to plug myself real quick. Go to gophnx.com and read my article on fourth quarters. There's been a lot of talk about fourth quarters lately. Nobody else is going to do it. I got to do it. Read my shit.
Plug yourself, Gerald. Plug yourself.
Tell him, G.